My name is Peter, as I said, Peter McPherson, the Senior Minister of St Alfred's, and I extend my welcome to those of you who are visiting us this morning. In the reading we've just had, the word patience appears four times and the word perseverance twice, so it's definitely the focus of this part of James. It's the same topic that James started his letter with. Back in chapter 1, he encourages us to persevere in the face of the trials we experience. And he says that so we will grow as Christians. You might remember, some of you, that uncomfortable message I preached on that passage. At the end of the letter, then, the passage we've read just now, he's talking about being patient in the face of suffering. Chapter 5, verse 10. Life as a Christian has never been easy, and James is encouraging us not to give up, to remain patient and faithful. And it's a great encouragement. It's as relevant for us today as it was for those first Christians 2,000 years ago. First of all, then, what is it? What is he talking about? We might think of patience as that sort of virtue or quality that we need when we're in a doctor's waiting room or waiting in a queue or in a busy airport or a busy restaurant, something like that. Ginny and I were talking about it, and we said the best way to learn patience is to get married and then have children. And it's true, we all need patience in those sorts of daily circumstances, with people and with each other. But I want you to keep in mind a nuance that is in James, which comes from verse 10, where he talks about patience in the face of suffering. And that links back to chapter 1 about perseverance in the face of trials. Most likely what he's meaning here is suffering for being a Christian. Sometimes there are particular stresses that come on us just simply because of our faith. Now, what James is talking about here is, to use other words, endurance, long-suffering, stickability. He's encouraging us to sort of stay faithful to Jesus regardless of whatever is happening, not to give up. And he's talking about having a long-term perspective. It's what Eugene Peterson calls a long obedience in the same direction. And all of us need this encouragement. All of us are tempted to give up at times. All of us are weak human beings who, when we are pushed or under pressure, can speak in ways that are ungodly and act in ways that are ungodly. All of us need reminding that God is still there and we can trust him despite how tough things look. And in all of these circumstances, God's word today for you is, don't give in. Stick with it. Stick with your faith. Remain. Be firm. Steadfast. Persevere. Be patient. Now, at this point, you might ask a very valid question, which is, why? Why bother? Wouldn't it be easier just to roll over and give in, whether it's to give in to circumstance or ungodly thoughts or ungodly speech, whatever it is? Now, interestingly, James' answers to the question why comes from theology, not psychology. And he's going to take us through, in this little passage, an interesting example, I think, of how theology and pastoral care are linked. That is, what you think about God actually helps you as a person. What you think about God helps you respond to the pressures you're under. So why be patient? Or some encouragements to keep being patient. Firstly, and strangely, not something you would pick if you were writing the textbook on patience, why be patient? Because Jesus is coming back. That would not be your most obvious starting point, would it? Verse 7, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. I think it's easy when we are suffering to lose hope, to believe that the darkness is all there is. And James says, hold on until the Lord comes, until his parousia is the Greek word, until he is present in person. Hold on until then. So here is hope. Here is a hope that is infused in the New Testament, which comes from the Lord Jesus himself. He talks about the fact that he will return. And you can see that in long gospel passages in places like Mark 13 and Luke 21 and Matthew 24. Now, I want you to be very clear on this, because it's easy at this point to think that's too theological. Jesus said he would die, and he died. He said he would rise again, and he rose. He said he will come back, and he will come back. That gives you hope that whatever you are experiencing now will one day come to an end. Why does Jesus' return give us hope? Why does it encourage us to be patient? Because what we are suffering and what we are experiencing will one day stop. It will not go on forever. And James says, be patient like the farmer who has to wait for the rains. Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. We don't know when, but in the light of eternity it is near. Now, this is no easy patience. I'm not trying to sell you a popular psychological approach to this. This is profound theology that is saying you need to have a long-term perspective on your life and on the world, on time. This is long-haul endurance. The Christian life is not easy, and your struggles may go on for a lifetime. But this encouragement comes directly from the person of the Lord Jesus, no other place. It's not a popular thought. His return will change everything. So James says, stay faithful, do not give up. And I want you to see how your beliefs, what you believe about Jesus, actually can help your attitudes to your daily life. Your theology actually can help how you respond each day. So if you believe in the return of Jesus, you are better equipped to deal with whatever today and tomorrow holds. Now, secondly, another encouragement to be patient is because Jesus will judge. When we are suffering, we all have a tendency to grumble. At least I do, so my wife tells me. If a church is under pressure, or a ministry is struggling, or a family is under pressure or struggling, relationships can get out of kilter. People can get scratchy with one another. Each person can think they know the right way forward and can get a little bit sort of, I don't know, a bit aggressive with each other, either verbally or in reality. James says, verse 9, don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Now, he returns to one of his strongest themes in his letter here, which is how people speak to one another. And he says, don't grumble. He says, don't grumble and judge one another. It's reminiscent of what he had said in chapter 4. He says, you're not the judge of anyone else. Jesus is the judge, and he is near. The judge is standing at the door, in the sense of he's near by his spirit, and his return is near, I think. It has two meanings. And again, it shows us how good theology can help us pastorally. Not everyone at church, not everyone in your small group, perhaps not everyone even in your family, and certainly not everyone at work, is your cup of tea. And believe it or not, you are not that for them either. It is very easy to get offside with one another in church, in small groups, in families, at work, in the wider community. Be patient with one another, James is saying. Don't grumble with one another. Don't speak ill of each other, is what he'd said in chapter 4. Let Jesus be the judge, and that will remove a lot of emotional anxiety for you. Leave them in Jesus' hands. Thirdly, another good encouragement to be patient is because we have role models to follow. Now, with James's focus on godly speech, this is very interesting. The two role models he picks out are not people who are nice and quiet. You would think that nice, pious advice from your senior minister in terms of being patient would be just keep quiet and pray. Just put up with it. And next week we'll look at a little bit at prayer. But James is much wiser than I am, and he pulls out two role models for you, which are very interesting, I think. The first are the prophets, unnamed group of people from the Old Testament. We're not told which ones exactly, but they are, note verse 10, examples of patience in suffering. Why are they examples of patience in suffering? What got them into their suffering? Well, verse 10 is because they spoke out in the name of the Lord. They actually spoke. They didn't keep quiet, and that was the cause of their suffering. Now, if you're going to talk God talk to people, if you're going to try and tell people the truth about Jesus, about the Bible, about the church, sometimes that will be the cause of your suffering. Sometimes you will invite trouble by the fact that you want to try and speak truth. Many Christians in many countries know this. So Christians need patience if they're going to get involved in people's lives and try and speak truth into our society. People and communities are incredibly hard to change. The prophets learnt that, and we know that. But the message is, don't despair. Don't give up. Have that sort of long-term perspective. What you need to do is keep going and maintaining your own relationship with God and refusing to lose hope, and then wait patiently for God to do his transforming work. And particularly those of you who've got a sort of involvement in the wider community. You might have an involvement in a Christian advocacy group or a social justice type of feel. You know how difficult it is to change our society or the world around us. And just think how long it took the Christian anti-slavery abolitionists. Whole generation of people it took. So if you're going to be involved in trying to speak prophetically into our world, then you need to have patience. The second example is also very interesting, and it's the example of Job, who's here praised for his perseverance. Now, those of you who know your Old Testament and know the story of Job might have raised an eyebrow of surprise there. You'll know the basic story. Job is a rich man. He loses everything. And for nearly 35 chapters of the Bible, he argues with God. He complains to God. He tries to defend himself. He speaks out against his friends. He wants God to come into a court so he can prove his innocence. Would he be the type of person you'd pick as an example of perseverance and patience? You might not think so initially, but he is. For although he complained bitterly to God about what had happened, he never gave up on God. He clung to God and put his hope in God. All that Job wanted to know was that God was still there, and that God was listening to him. And when that happens, at the end of the story, Job is satisfied. And James says here he's blessed. And I don't think the blessing is that he got double his cattle and double his sheep, his wealth doubled. I don't think that was the blessing at the end. The blessing at the end was that Job knew God was there. God had heard him. And of all the people in the Bible, I think Job has the right to say, why me? Life isn't fair. And that's true, isn't it? That's true for you. There'll be many of you sitting here today troubled by something and thinking, why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? Or even, this is not fair. Well, God never said it was going to be fair. He never said it would all work out. Maybe we'll never understand on this side of heaven why certain things happen. And it's in those situations that you need patience, perseverance. If you're here today and you're tempted to give up, well then let Job be your role model for today. Let him be your encouragement. Let him encourage you that God is still there, that God is still listening, that you can take your complaints, your bitterness, your incomprehension, even your doubt about God to God. You can do that. You don't have to have it all sorted out every moment of the day in order to be a believer in God. And God will cope with your anger and your frustration and maybe even your sort of verbal barrage. God's a big God. He can cope with that. But don't give up. Be assured that God is listening. Those of us who, unlike Job, know Jesus and his Holy Spirit, know more deeply that God is with us. We have more proof that God is with us. So hold on to that. We're encouraged to be patient in our suffering by knowing that Jesus will return, that Jesus will judge all people, and we're encouraged by the role models, the speaking role models, notice, of the prophets and Job, who despite their suffering continued to speak to their world, to their society, and to God. And finally, let's be encouraged because we know God is working things out. Again, it shows you how theology helps you emotionally and pastorally. Let me look at the last couple of verses. All the while Job was trying to figure out what was happening in his life, God was at work, even though Job didn't know that. All Job saw was the ruination of his life. And God is always at work shaping things to his purposes. James says here at the end, "You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." What God, the God of mercy and compassion, finally brought about is what he was working towards, which Job didn't understand. Your present suffering, whatever situation you are in today, is not the end of the story. Even while you are sitting here or going through whatever trouble it is, God is at work. You may not understand that, and you may find it hard to see, but God's word tells us that he will bring about his purposes, and he will do that in a way that shows that he is a God of compassion and mercy, and you can trust that he wants the best for you. Now, a minister one day was pacing the floor in his office looking very frustrated, and somebody walked in and said to him, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I'm in a hurry and God isn't." And that's what we're like, isn't it? Here's a mess, Lord, fix it today, please. God is at work, working things out, and he says, be patient, persevere. The illustration of the farmer with the seed reminds us of that. The farmer sticks the seed in the ground and then he has to wait. All the while he is waiting, God is at work creating the environment for that seed to grow. He hasn't gone to sleep. Now, I don't know what problem you're facing today. I don't know what suffering you're experiencing right this minute. But regardless of the problem you're going through, God is working in and through that problem. I want you to really know that. Some of you today really need to know that. God is at work. And he is listening, and he knows what you're going through, and he is a God of compassion and mercy. Go home and read chapter 5 of James, verse 11 again, to remind yourself of that. The section finishes somewhat strangely with a command not to swear by heaven or earth or by anything else, and let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. It's an echo of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5. You sort of think, where's he gone here? Well, essentially, it's a command for Christians to speak plainly and to mean what they say. You see, while people are suffering, while Christians are suffering, we can be tempted to fudge things in order to get our way. Everyone is put under pressure and reacts in different ways. It must have been in James's day, at some stage they were making false oaths and doing things in order to try and, I don't know, reach whatever conclusions they wanted. And he's saying here, don't do that or you'll be condemned. Be people of integrity. Mean what you say, even while you are suffering. So if you've got a problem at home or at work, you do not have any biblical reason to start to becoming duplicitous or taking liberties with the truth. He's saying, regardless of what is happening, you're to mean what you say. There's that great Jacobean theme, isn't it? Speaking truthfully in a godly way, or you will be condemned. Now, next week we'll find there is another important thing we can do if we're in trouble or suffering, and that is to pray for one another, chapter 5, verse 16. And I've already explained that in the service we'll be praying for each other, those of you who want to be prayed for healing, and every Sunday after the service we offer prayer. But today's emphasis is be patient and persevere. Just to remind you, encouragements to persevere. Believe that Jesus is returning and he will bring all your suffering to an end. Trust that Jesus will judge and he will put things right. Follow the role models of the prophets and Job, who spoke to people and to God about what was wrong. Trust that God is working things out according to his purposes. Remain people of faith and integrity while you wait. And above all, be careful of what you say. Now, if you believe this and do this, you will be better able to persevere. What you think about God, what you believe about Jesus, will actually help you emotionally respond to the suffering and troubles that you experience. Now, we're not going to talk about this today. Graham's going to come and lead us in prayer. Graham, you might like to come up, because I think we're going to move straight into prayer. But what I'd like to do just before Graham leads us in prayer is just to allow a little bit of silence for you to reflect. And I've tried to give you a reminder of some of the beliefs we have about God, that Jesus will return, that he will judge, that God is a God of mercy and compassion. Just reflect on one of those silently for a moment, and I'll ask God to show you how that's going to help you to be patient this week.